This episode of Current Geek is brought to you by the all-new FreshBooks. Ridiculously easy to use and packed with powerful features like creating and sending professional-looking invoices in less than 30 seconds. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our listeners. To claim it, go to freshbooks.com/CG and enter Current Geek in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And by Casper, a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/geek and use the promo code geek at checkout.
I have
Current Geek!
Current Geek!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All-Stars, geeks of the world and you, to keep you current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson. With Tom Merritt. Tom, I missed you so much.
I know. I mean, we did our Casablanca episode, which was great fun.
Yeah.
And then we didn't do a show because you were at BlizzCon where I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be honest, I probably spend more time with you on the show than I got to spend with you at BlizzCon because we're so busy.
Yeah, it was really, we were swamped. There was a lot going on. There's never enough time there, I feel like. But it was nice to be in physical proximity. Once in a while. We don't get to do that very often. So
yeah, it's absolutely good
to
see you.
But we're glad to be back bringing the Current Geek thing together once again for a Friday night. Thank you all for being here. We have guests. I'll start with a returning guest, everybody. You know her from the Dirty Bits History podcast, a podcast I now listen to. And if you think that we got weird stuff going on in politics today, you won't believe historically what can be found on the Dirty Bits podcast. It's Tani Plattis. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you here. We'll talk a little later about your show and about other stuff you may have going on.
Yeah, because people, if you've been thinking to yourself, I need something that will make me feel like today isn't so crazy, listen to her show.
Well, thank you.
Also, we have with us, for the first time, a podcaster also from the Varmints podcast. His name is Paul. His last name's hard to say. Paul, how do you say your last name?
The CS is like a CH, so Chomo,
oh.
But everybody screws it up, so it's fine.
Ah, good. I thought we had some kind of Cosmo thing typoed, and it kind of messed me up, but we're really...
Everybody murders it. It's fine.
So is that a Slavic name?
Hungarian.
Then? Hungarian. Oh, okay. There we go.
Yeah. Well, you never know what you're going to get with a C and an S in the wrong place. But in the right place, it turns out.
My stubborn grandfather came over and refused to change it to something easy like... Johnson or Merritt.
Johnson or Merritt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very simple like that. Well, it's good to have you here, man. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. A little later in the show, we'll talk some more about what you've got going on. But in the meantime, Tom, we should probably get to these here headlines.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
What happened in the world of nerd?
Well, Kathleen Kennedy made so many people's dreams come true, and Lucasfilm announced that Rian Johnson is going to create a new Star Wars trilogy, write and direct the first movie of it, at least. This new trilogy will be separate from the Skywalker saga and introduce new characters from a corner of the galaxy that Star Wars lore has never before explored. No release dates or other information were given, but... I know a bunch of people who've been complaining, like, why do we always have to go back to the same stuff? Mm. And a lot of people saying, I want another trilogy. And both groups of those people are really happy now.
Also, here's a situation where, at least we think anyway, that Disney must be, the brass at Disney must be pleased with his work, despite the fact that none of us have seen this movie yet. It's not out yet, so we don't know how Rian Johnson did with the middle part of the current trilogy. But... it seems to me, for a company that's willing to fire everybody as quickly as it has on other Star Wars projects so that they make sure they can bring it back to within whatever vision they have, they must be really pleased with Rian Johnson across the board, because I don't know that they would give a three-picture deal to a director if they weren't already pretty stoked about the work he's doing. So that gives me great, not only great hope in this new trilogy and new stories, and I always like Rian Johnson anyway, but... this makes me a lot more optimistic about what The Last Jedi is going to land like. And not that I had, you know, didn't have any sort of bad premonitions about it. It's just that, you know, we lost the Han Solo directors, and then we, you know, had some switch ups and shake ups with other properties, and it started to feel a little weird, but it seems like maybe he nailed the landing I don't know. Curious what you think, Paul. Do you think we're going to get something rad with Rian Johnson and he will now be our new almighty Star Wars handler?
So I'm kind of embarrassed to ask this, but who's Rian Johnson?
All right.
So, I honestly don't know.
No,
he's the director of The Last Jedi, which is the next Star Wars movie coming out in December.
Right. But moreover, he comes from a long line of interesting movies. He made a movie called Brick that was really fantastic. He made a movie called Looper that was about time travel. Not that old, actually. It was only a few years ago. Great movie. Like, already respected. People already kind of dug his vibe and his style and everything. And he is the director of the upcoming third or second movie coming out this December. So,
cool. Well, he must have done a good job. So, great. I mean, more Star Wars is good.
Yeah.
Even if you put Jar Jar Binks in it, I'll take it. I love Star Wars. So.
Wow. Your bar went real low just then. Like, you'll take Jar Jar. It'll be fine. Tawny, how are you feeling about all this? It seems positive.
I'm excited. It seems really positive. Everybody pretty much touched on my own thoughts, which was, if they're going to bring him back, that's a good sign, because they are not trigger shy when it comes to cutting people that aren't working for him. And I am familiar with his work, and that's why I think it could go either way, because I wasn't the biggest fan of Looper, but Brick is so incredible.
Yeah.
So that being said, the trailer too, we just saw, we went and watched Thor last night in honor of going on Current Geek. So we saw the trailer for Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
This is so bad.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I loved the trailer. I'm so excited to see it. And I'm optimistic to see what he does. And always exciting to get a new storyline too. I like the whole diverting away from the Skywalker story.
Yeah, that's in the wrong. But in the right place, it turns out.
Stubborn grandfather.
I don't know why that's playing. Go ahead. Something in my browser keeps playing. I think we're still
stubborn grandpa just tried to get into the stream.
Sorry, my bad. I don't know what was going on there. The Brothers Bloom is his other movie that people may be familiar with. 2008.
I love that movie too.
Yeah, great movie, directed by him with a bunch of cool people in it. So I have really high hopes, and it feels like, I don't know, if they're going to give him this three-picture deal, that seems like a lot of confidence that they haven't necessarily had with some of these other directors. So, Tom, it's in good hands, it seems.
Yeah, it is. And I've maintained for a long time that they needed to focus on the Skywalker saga, because that's what people are going to expect the most. And even if there's a bunch of people who are like, I really want something different, more people really want to finish out this story. Tell me what Luke has been up to. Tell me about Han, Leia, et cetera. And even with Rogue One, I think they, you know, they wanted to lean into, like, let's connect it to the things you're familiar with, bring you back into the fold. Then once we've got you comfortable, we can venture out and satisfy those people who want something new, and more people would follow. And that sounds like that's what they're planning to do.
Yep. Seems like good news. So well done, Rian Johnson. And also, I guess we don't have news about this yet in here, do we? No, we don't have information in here about the TV possible thing.
Oh, that's right. They did mention that there would be a live TV show, but there's no details about it.
Zero details on it, but it's...
My guess is it's going to be on Disney's online-only streaming service that's going to start in 2019.
Yeah,
that
would be my guess. That's what I wanted to ask you. It's so funny to see... I mean, not funny, but there's something funny about them starting their streaming service and possibly having that be the cornerstone of it in the way that CBS All Access did with Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's like Star Trek and Star Wars comparisons.
Yeah, it's like that. It's also like putting Star Wars Rebels on Disney XD, which got a bunch of people to start watching Disney XD that wouldn't have.
Yeah.
So it's that same thing of like, ooh, put it somewhere. We don't know. We're not saying that's what they're going to do, but that's just my guess.
Yeah, seems all right.
Hey, Max Landman's girlfriend wanted to sell her 1996 Honda Accord, had 141,095 miles on it. She was asking $499. Max Landman is a filmmaker. So Max Landman thought, you know, it'd be funny. I'll grab a couple of my filmmaking friends and actors and make a high quality car commercial with an actor driving and a professional voiceover. And we'll make a really good commercial to sell this 1996 Honda Accord for $499. He even came up with a tagline: luxury is a state of mind.
Now, hold
on. The car now has a $100,000 bid on eBay.
I'm worried about what this means. Like, there's a psychology here that's freaking me out a little bit. So you know, if it goes for more than the $499, I guess well done, but aren't we a bunch of suckers? It's still this old 96 car. There's nothing fancy going on with this car. That's crazy to me. Tawny, would you pay $100,000 for this now that you've heard that an actor has sat in it?
No, I just wish that I would have thought of that.
Yeah.
Every time I see that kind of stuff, I'm like, God, that's brilliant marketing. Why didn't I think to do that? I saw it pop up on Reddit and immediately was like, that's such a good idea.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised. That's such our culture that somebody would bid $100,000 on that car.
Yeah, this is the world we live in. I'm looking at some screen grabs from it, and it's so nice. It's like this beautiful sunset Pacific Coast Highway kind of shot. Lots of aerial shots, some cool use of text to say where it's, you know, 141,000 miles, starting at $499. Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Hats off to these guys. And if I ever have some old iPhone I need to sell or whatever, we may want to give these guys a call.
The tagline is just so brilliant. That luxury is a state of mind.
Yeah.
That's so great. Yeah.
Folks have got to go. They've got to go watch it if you haven't seen it, because, you know, you're someone who doesn't value. You don't put a priority on things, you know. And it's just driving a 1996 Honda Accord. It's great. Yeah,
it's a pretty good deal. What do you think, Paul? You want to belly up and up this bid? You want to add another $10 to it? What do you think?
What do they do with fake bids? eBay? Because that can't be a real bid.
It seems like it shouldn't be, right? Like, all logic says that there's no way that's real. But then I've seen some pretty weird stuff.
Well, yes, it could be a fake bid, in which case the person gets their account suspended if they don't end up paying it. And somebody may be like, I don't care, I'll just make a fake account.
Yeah.
But it could be real, that people have paid for weirder things on the internet because they're like, I want to be the guy that owns that car from the meme, right? And I've got more money than sense. So here you go.
It's usually
a gorgeous commercial. It's really, really clever.
Yeah, it's really well done. But like, I've seen Cheetos shaped like people that went for, you know, $10,000 or something. And so who knows, man? People got money to throw and they'll throw it at anything. Why not a nice Accord from 1996?
Variety reports Amazon is in very early talks with Warner Brothers and the Tolkien Estate on a series based on Lord of the Rings. Tolkien Estate has also approached Netflix and HBO about it, though HBO already passed, apparently, according to the sources. CEO Jeff Bezos is taking a personal interest in the negotiations, apparently, and Deadline says the rights alone would cost $200 to $250 million and might not even encompass all the characters, which makes me think that they're negotiating for like appendix material or Silmarillion type material.
Yeah, I could see that because, I don't know. The main core story stuff and those characters, I feel like we've had our fun with them and for a while anyway in the cultural spectrum. So why not focus in on some characters we don't know yet? It would give, if Netflix gets it, for example, it would give Netflix their Game of Thrones if they do this right. And that's a huge property with a big name attached to it. And they could probably go places with it. But then there's the argument of, well, why do you want a bunch of, you know, characters we don't know yet or care about yet or whatever? So it's a little more of a risky deal. But $200 to $250 million, that is not, you know, that's not couch cash. That's a bunch of money. The fact that Jeff Bezos is involved, why is it not being considered by, well, I assume it is being considered by Amazon Prime as well. Prime Video, mm-hmm. right?
Well, yeah, no, that's the story. That's
oh.
the
oh, there. Amazon's right, in early talks.
Amazon.
Sorry. Yeah, I was reading. I read too much into the approach Netflix and HBO bit. But if the newly crowned richest man in the world, Jeff Bezos, is trying to figure something out, I'll bet you this ends up on Amazon. Just an idea. I'll bet he does.
Well, they're trying to get a bidding war between Bezos and Netflix. And the key to Bezos being involved is he doesn't take part in negotiations. He has people to do that, but he's a big fan.
Yeah.
Right. So that makes me think you're right that Amazon's probably gonna want to make sure they win this one.
It just seems like a no-brainer from a IP standpoint. But
yeah,
I remember also thinking that when the movies were being made, when the Peter Jackson films were announced, I remember thinking, man, that is a tall order. Good luck with that. I hope you guys don't lose your shorts. This is gonna be real ugly. And they did it. So maybe that can happen again. Who knows? Tony, you want more? You want more high fantasy on your Sunday night viewing?
Yes, absolutely. Especially Lord of the Rings. I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan.
Yeah.
That's exciting. It's funny though to see that HBO passed it up. Like they were like, no, we just have too much going on in our lives with Game of Thrones. We just can't take on another epic fantasy project. That's so funny to me.
Yeah.
Because you would think that they would jump on that. Because I had heard the rumors that they were going to like expand the Game of Thrones, you know, series and universe. Like this was like the end of, you know, the George series, but like they were going to go like back and like forward with like Duncan Egg and all those guys. And that's where it's like with Lord of the Rings, it's so big, you know, like you'd mentioned the Silmarillion, and that was my thought too, was like they can just go so deep into what is Lord of the Rings. So I'm excited that Amazon's going to take it on, because they're kind of up and coming. I feel like they don't get as much attention as they deserve for a lot of their original content, and it's really good.
I agree. Them and Hulu for me are the two that I shouldn't say they get ignored. They just won a bunch of Emmys for Handmaid's Tale, and it was well deserved. But I'm constantly finding things on those two services I didn't hear about or nobody told me about. I just saw this great Dana Carvey documentary yesterday called Too Funny to Fail, which everybody should watch. It's really, really great. It's about his show in the 90s, 96, in fact, when that Honda came out. but it's I didn't know Stephen Colbert, Steve Carell, and a whole bunch of these like comedians you all know today, writers, comedians, directors, were all working on this show. It only made it 8 episodes. It completely tanked. But oh my gosh, that documentary is funny. And it's only on Hulu. Like, there's some great stuff on these services. So this feels very mainstream and something they would have to make sure to let people know that's out there, and that they'd want to, you know, make sure they have Prime so they can watch it.
Well, I mean, it's not like they don't have billboards up everywhere for things like Transparent or Mozart in the Jungle.
That's true.
I mean, they're out there.
Yeah.
It's just that Netflix has been doing it longer and got all that press for House of Cards and now Stranger Things. I mean, Amazon's had hits. They just haven't had the really big hit, right? The one that just kind of pushes them right up to the top.
What do you think, Paul? You excited?
I'm going to just throw a big wet blanket over everything and say that I am getting like a general overall fatigue for expanding universes and rebooting and bringing movies to TV and bringing TVs to movie. And it's a lot for me. Like, I don't watch a whole lot of TVs and movie. And it seems like it's too much, and I kind of want something new. I mean, I love Lord of the Rings. I don't maybe love it as much as Tawny does, and I'll watch it, but it's a lot.
Yeah,
peak television, man. Too much. Yeah. I know what you mean.
We are in too much town for sure,
because there's lots of new too. Right, there's like Stranger Things is whole cloth invention, but it's just so much.
Yeah, there's tons of it. And we're gonna, and you know, in a few years when we're getting a million Stranger Things spinoffs or whatever we're doing, then We'll be complaining about
even
that too. But
Stranger Things.
But yeah.
Stranger Things.
I have a list as long as my, you know, I don't know. It's like a giant list of too many numbers of things that I'm behind on, haven't seen, meant to see.
Kind of normal things.
Yeah, just normal stuff.
Just surprisingly mundane.
Just straight up TV. And then all the while, here's my wife, who's going out of town, so I can tease her a little bit. She's going on a rad cruise here in a couple of days.
Oh, nice.
Actually, tomorrow. She leaves tomorrow. Anyway, she has this thing where she's addicted to Hallmark Channel Christmas movies when they start rolling those out 24 hours a day. And she'll sit and watch those over and over and over. And I'm thinking to myself, she doesn't care. Like, there's a blissfulness to it. She loves the shows I like. We're into the same things. It's not like we don't want to be caught up on Game of Thrones or whatever it may be. But she's just as fine to sit down with some no-name actors and do the same plot template of guy comes to a small town. Normally he's in the big city, but he meets a girl who works at the local dairy farm. And then before you know it, Christmas is here again. Like, that template is every one of those things. I've now had enough experience over the last few days with her watching those at night. I'm just like, they're the same movie over and over and over. And she is content with it because for whatever reason, her guilty pleasure is that, and she loves it. And meanwhile, I'm over here going, I don't even know if I'm done with season 2 of The Killing. I think I maybe got there. I don't know. I don't remember because a bunch of other shows got in my way, and now I'm confused. Is this The Orville or is this Star Trek? I don't remember who's what. So anyway, there's my rant for the day.
Well, this is not going to make things simpler for any of you. CNBC has sources who say that 21st Century Fox has been holding talks on and off with Disney over a potential sale of everything but news, sports, and local broadcasting. So the idea would be that Disney would buy Fox's international assets, the movie studio 21st Century Fox, and the TV production arm, which would include the cable networks like FX and National Geographic, but not the local Fox channels, not Fox News, not Fox Sports. Now, what this really means is that Disney would reacquire Fantastic Four. It could come back to Marvel. Also, Fox's leadership supposedly fears it will not be able to compete on its own with Netflix and Amazon, which is why it wants to sell this portion of its business over to Disney.
And also just, I don't know, finally frees them from that pressure of, if we want to keep these IP, if we want to keep X-Men, we want to keep, you know, Deadpool now and want to hang on to that that Fantastic Four license we keep jacking up, we have to keep making one of these and spending millions of dollars on it every so many years to keep the contract alive. Now they can, I think, in a graceful way, everybody can kind of make some money. Disney will acquire back their triple, you know, their A-level characters and be able to do what they want with them and actually bring them into the MCU in a proper way. Like, I feel like everybody kind of wins here. And nobody has to own Fox News, which I don't like very much. So,
well, that's somebody nice does. Well, it's 21st Century Fox.
They get to keep it. They can have that,
some
right?
Some people like Fox News.
Sure. Just, you know, and Fox Sports, I could see that not coming just out of conflict reasons. Like, ESPN is already a Disney-owned property. So if you suddenly own ESPN and Fox Sports, the two biggest...
Well, yeah, that's the thing is owning ABC News and Fox News would be a problem. Owning ESPN and Fox Sports would be a problem. Owning ABC local stations and Fox local stations. That's why those would stay out. But the movie studio, when you've got Netflix and Amazon essentially operating as movie studios, plus Sony, plus Paramount, plus Universal, like there's enough competition there they think they could get it through.
So here's the question. So Paul, they've successfully taken B-level characters in the Marvel Universe, just to stay in that area for a minute, and they've made them A-list. They took Tony Stark and Iron Man, who used to be a B-list character. Like, straight up, that's just where he was in the pantheon of comics. The big numbers at Marvel were always X-Men, Spider-Man, and things they no longer had the right to make movies about. So they figured out a way to do that. They made the Avengers top-tier A-level, no longer B-tier.
Sure.
Now they may have the possibility of getting their A-tier stuff back, or the things that would have been thought of as A-tier, but really they feel kind of B-tier now. Do you think they can successfully bring those up and bring them into the fold and give us some proper new X-Men / you know, Fantastic Four stories?
Gosh, I hope so, especially with the Fantastic Four, because the last couple of those were really, really bad, and I love the Fantastic Four, so I would love to see that movie done properly. Yeah. Maybe not next year or the year after or a few years, just kind of need to get that rotten taste out of my mouth from that last one, because that one was so bad. But I would love to see a well done Fantastic Four for sure.
And you could say, so Tony, I could say to you, well, they've got Logan, that was awesome, and they got, you know, Deadpool down. Like, maybe this is the best Fox has ever done with some of these properties, and yet this still feels like the right move. Do you agree?
I mean, I'm not really one for the superhero movies myself. Like, Deadpool was like the best one that I'd ever seen. I try so hard to get into them because, like, I want to be one of the cool kids. All the cool kids like the superhero movies. But the only one that I've liked so far is Deadpool. And then we just saw Thor last night, and that was so like meta and not typical for like, for like superhero movies. It was totally just, you know, in on the joke of itself. So that was enjoyable. But I don't know. I don't even have an opinion. Like, I'm like, is it sarcastic and rated R? I'll go see it. But that's kind of about it.
I like your attitude. That's pretty good. Is it sarcastic and is it rated R? Disney, you heard it here first. But it does mean that they just, I don't know. Now we don't, we can have it all in one bag. And we still have the whole Spider-Man thing with Sony. But Sony has got that special deal where they're working with the MCU and made a really great movie as a result. So, Tom, we're getting closer to, we're getting closer to Disney owning everything is what we're getting to, if you want to be straight up about it.
Kind of. Yeah. Well, and again, these talks are on and off. Right now, they're actually off, so this might not happen. But apparently, they've been on and off often enough that CNBC feels like, yeah, it's something you might want to keep an eye on.
I wonder how those go on and off. Do you think they just call each other and go, hey, you want to go on again with these talks? Nah, let's do it next week. Okay, we're off the talks.
Yeah, you know, they break up and then Fox gets lonely and calls up Disney because he doesn't have anything to do on the weekend.
Sends him a weird Snapchat late on Saturday night.
Just get coffee, you know, next thing you know, they're out at the club.
Yeah. All right. No, the way you've explained it, it's all clear to me now.
We've taken a journey here from Lucasfilm giving a new hope, so to speak, from Amazon possibly reviving a beloved franchise to the merging of powerhouses. Now we finish with the death of something. Hollywood Reporter says Alex Kurtzman and Chris Morgan have left Universal's Dark Universe project after the failure of The Mummy. Remember, the Dark Universe is supposed to take all these classic monster movies, Frankenstein, Bride of Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon, and make like an expanded cinematic universe out of them. There's an office building on the Universal lot retrofitted for the project that is now mostly empty. Kurtzman has gone to being full-time executive producer on Star Trek Discovery. Morgan is back to developing Fast and Furious, including a spinoff for Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham. Universal president of production Peter Kramer said, quote, "We are not rushing to meet a release date and we'll move forward with these films when we feel they are the best version of themselves." Okay. Don't forget, Tom Merritt's wife is employed by Fandango, which is majority owned by NBC Universal, and he may or may not be attending the official NBC Universal Christmas party.
Nice. You should go. I want to hear stories. So you must go. But here's, okay.
Which may or may not be in the abandoned building.
Right. There you go. I'm going to say I'm going to sum up why The Mummy failed and why the expanded Universal Monsters universe was unable to reboot itself. So, world, here it is. You've heard it here first. Current geek, remember this day. You don't start with The Mummy. You start with Frankenstein's monster, you dummies. Like, or at least Dracula. Go one or those other. Those are your two. You don't go Wolfman right out of the gate. You don't go Swamp Creature out of the gate. You don't go Mummy out of the gate. You go straight to Frankenstein, or you go straight to Dracula, and you don't mess with the second tier yet. And when you do that later based on the success of how rad your Frankenstein movie was. And then you combine them all into a big team action thing. It's just like the 40s again and the 30s. Do it the way they did it. You don't start with these crappy side ones. The Mummy is dumb. It's dumb. I mean, I had some fun with the Brendan Fraser mummies. Okay, I'm not going to lie. Those are funny movies. I have some moments of joy from those. This other thing I didn't see yet, but whatever. I'm sure at some point I'll catch it on video.
Oh, I saw it.
Yeah.
And even Tom Cruise couldn't save it.
There you go. Any disagreement with me on this? Like, don't start. It's like saying, hey, we're Star Wars. What do you want to do? Well, we're thinking about doing a side story about Womp Rats. No. No, you go straight to lightsabers and Jedis and stuff. Like, don't give us your B-tier crap like that to start with.
Also, in March is, like, the 150th anniversary of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Like, yeah, perfect.
A perfect opportunity. And plus, that still resonates. There's something about that story, if done right, that is meaningful and powerful.
200.
Yeah, but The Mummy is just, wrapped in bandages, came from an old burial thing. Whoop-de-freaking-do. It's just not that exciting. Anyway, a rant complete. Any other thoughts from the panel on what if we should care about the Universal Monsters ever again after this?
Well, I think the other mistake that they made is that they weren't making horror movies out of these characters. They were making action movies. Mm. And these are horror movies, and they should be scary. Like, the old ones are still scary. They hold up. You know, this was a big part of my childhood, these old movies. I had dolls. I had, like, there was these collectible dolls back in the 80s with Boris Karloff as Frankenstein and Bela Lugosi as Dracula, and I collected those, you know? Mm. So when I first heard of the Stark Universe thing, I was really, really excited. And then I forget what movie I went to where they showed the Mummy trailer. And I normally have some sort of reaction to a movie trailer, even if I've seen that trailer 20 times and I had no reaction. I just sat there and went, well, that was good while it lasted. And I'm glad I didn't waste my money on that Mummy movie. But yeah, they're making action movies when they should be making horror movies.
Yeah, that's an interesting approach. I wonder why they decided not to do that. I mean, I know they're one of the biggest.
The lesson here is, if you're going to reboot a franchise, make sure the movies don't suck.
Oh, that's a really good point. Sure.
Yeah.
Make sure what you're making isn't poopy. I got it.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that they don't go into the meeting like, you know, it's okay if we make a sucky movie, guys. That's not a priority.
Yeah, probably not. It's fun to think that they do, though. I'm enjoying it. Well, these and so many stories we've gotten today come from not just the mouth of Tom Merritt and not just from the internet, but from contributors to our show who show up on our Reddit. Tom, who should we thank this week for some help?
Big thanks to Mazehead, Captain Kipper, Jeff Rose, Mayor McCheese, and Chris Stivers, who all supported us by putting some links in the subreddit, and everybody who voted on these things as well at currentgeek.reddit.com.
Okay, I have a small thing to admit to. When I was in high school, I was late for a paper, and it was supposed to be a philosophy type class, and I got so behind that I decided to whip something up real quick, and the story was about, because you said Mayor McCheese, and it reminded me of this.
Yeah.
Was what if everyone in the world was like Mayor McCheese? What would that do to everyday life? And it was things like, whoa, Subways would be less full because the burger head is so big, it would block out all the other people, and they would all be just head to head, and there'd be no room for enough people, and mass transit would fail because it couldn't financially survive, and planes were the same way, and showers had to be reconfigured, and like, I had all these ideas about what Mayor McCheeseland would look like. Anyway,
and you still maintain you never smoked anything?
No, no weed, nothing. I did get a D on that though, a D. So yeah, I didn't do well. Anyway,
Mayor Big D.
Thank you everybody for, I mean, it was so dumb, but my gosh, I think I mean, at least I had a grade.
I kind of love it. I would have given you at least a B+.
Should revisit that in a modern context when I can actually write something. Anyway, thanks everybody for those. We really appreciate it. But before we get too far into anything new, I do want to talk about our friends over there at Casper, casper.com. Oh, I love these guys. They're a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize the line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience. I'm sleeping on one. Well, not right now because I'm talking right now. We're on a show, but normally at night I'm sleeping on one. And they're helping me do that one night at a time. Their mattresses are designed by human beings, for human beings. That's important. No robots in here. They combine multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. Breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulate your body temperature at night. And they're not just any mattress company. They offer a wide range of products to ensure an overall better sleep experience. All of it is made in the USA. And buying one is easy. You order it online, free shipping to your door, in a nice compact box. You open it up, boom, you're done. Also, free shipping and returns in the US and Canada. Oh, you heard me say returns, did you? They give you 100 days to try your mattress out. 100-day free trial. It's crazy. This day and age, you can give that a shot for 100 free days. And you spend so many nights on your mattress. I mean, you truly need the best possible experience you can, right? So make sure, try it out. If you like it, you keep it. If you don't, you send it back. No cost to you. I think you're going to keep it though, like I did. So start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/geek and using the promo code geek at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. That's $50 toward any mattress purchase. Go to casper.com/geek and use the promo code GEEK. This episode's also brought to you by the all-new FreshBooks. Oh, man, you're racing against the clock. You're trying to wrap up a bunch of projects, three or four of those, and you're like, oh, how am I going to get this done? You're prepping for a meeting later in the afternoon, all while trying to tackle a huge mountain of paperwork sitting on your desk. Well, welcome to life as a freelancer. Challenging, yes, but our friends at FreshBooks believe that the rewards are so worth it. The working world has changed. With the growth of the internet, there's never been more opportunities for the self-employed to meet this need. FreshBooks has stepped up and is excited to announce the launch of the all-new version of their cloud accounting software. It's been redesigned from the ground up and custom-built for exactly the way you work. Simple, easy ways to be more productive, more organized, and importantly, get paid quicker. That's a thing everybody wants. The all-new FreshBooks not only ridiculously easy to use, but also packed full of powerful features, like see when your client has seen the invoice, put an end to that guessing game, create and send these professional invoices in less than 30 seconds, set up online payments with just a couple clicks, and get paid 4 days faster. FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to our listeners. To claim it, just go to freshbooks.com/CG and enter Current Geek in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's freshbooks.com/CG. And enter Current Geek in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Before we go on, we'd like to give our guests a second to talk about some of the cool stuff they're working on. Paul, since you're new to the podcast today, let's start with you. Tell us about your show and what it's all about.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's the podcast is called Varmints. It's all about animals. Back in 2015, there's this little podcast I listen to every day called The Morning Stream.
Oh, I've heard of it. Yeah, it's a little show. A lot of people aren't aware of it. Yeah. And,
I remember the Friday like it was yesterday. The two guys on there, Scott and Brian, were talking about The Lion King, and they about gave themselves a stroke. Yeah. And I was inspired to go home and make a dumb little YouTube video. And I did that. And I had wanted to do a podcast for some time. And that kind of got the creative ball rolling. And in less than a year, I wanted to find a podcast about animals that I was interesting to me. And I couldn't really find the podcast that I wanted to listen to that was in my brain. Mm. And it just didn't exist. So I made the Varmints podcast. It's about animals. My co-host is Donna Hume. She's smart and wonderful and funny and the best thing about that podcast. And every week we take an animal, we talk about it, we talk about its adaptations, we talk about how that animal works, we talk about how smart we think that animal is, we give it a rating on a scale of 1 to 10, and then we have some fun and we talk about where that animal shows up in TVs, movie, video games, and comic books. We give you some little trivia about that animal, and then we talk about whether or not we would eat it.
Mm. Nice. Do you guys do anything with the ostrich? Has that been touched on?
It's on the list.
Good, because that's a weird animal, and I always like to think that I'd like to know more about one of those. Those are weird, man. So
yeah,
bring it to the Varmints podcast. This is my big request to you. Let's get some ostrich business happening.
I'll work on it.
Flightless birds, man. What are they about? What's the deal with flightless birds? Well, that's awesome. At the end of the show, we'll
make called dinosaurs.
Oh. Oh, wait, now my mind is blown. Anyway, hey, at the end of the show, we'll let you toss around some links, make sure people know where to find it, but sounds like good work happening over there. You bet. Tawny, what is going on over there with you these days?
So I am the host of the Dirty Bits podcast, which is a podcast that a voice actor very casually and hopefully comedically retells the sexy, scandalous, and salacious stories from history that your teacher probably left out. So what we do is my husband and I, who's my audio editor, we research a figure from history and we find out all about the little icky details that you probably didn't hear about in class, because those are always the most fun. And they actually are really informational as far as like finding out why people made the decisions they did and how it affected the course of history. So it's kind of one of those, like, you know, sex is one of those big human motivators. So it's always fascinating to talk about. And we just joined the Orbital Jigsaw Network, which has been really exciting. So we have a lot going on over here in our neck of the woods.
Well, that's great. I have a curious question. Hopefully it's a good question, but in light of recent events and revelations across the board, mostly Hollywood, but also political circles and things, do you think that it's different? There was always gossip papers and things all through history. There's always been some facet of that, but it seems like now it's just relentless. Like, it's constant exposure. I personally think it's a good thing to have sunlight on things like this, but do you think in 100 years, can somebody effectively make a podcast or equivalent medium then about the people of today? Or do you think it's just too out there now? Like, the genie's out of the bottle in a modern way.
That's a good thought. And I think to some extent, we're also normalizing it too. You know, for the most part, everybody has sex or has had sex. It's, you know, as far as like bringing to light the parts that are like actually like icky parts that, that's not something we touch on too much. It's kind of more of like the parts of history as opposed to like the, oh, that's bad kind of a thing.
Sure.
But yeah, that being said, it is something that I've thought about too. And I don't think that would necessarily be a bad thing if in 100 years we couldn't look back on that and be like, you know, oh my God, look at all this stuff that they were doing. It, you know, it shouldn't be that outrageous if it's not. But I don't know. It's a good question. It is, because we volunteer so much information now, and it is 24/7 exposure with our, you know, our figures that would be.
And back in the day, everything was so hush hush and quiet, and everybody was a little bit complicit in the quietness. And nowadays it's like, well, someone's phone has a thing on it. Okay, now it's everywhere. Now everyone and their dog can see it. Now the person's apologizing. Right. You know, like, it's just such a different animal these days. It's fascinating, though.
It's interesting. So I might have to shift into the exploration of where it's going as we age.
Yeah, it could be a fun little separate thing to tackle, you know, as a as a connected piece for what you guys do. But it's a really cool show. We'll talk more about where people can get it here shortly. But I would like to remind people now is the time, not of our discontent, but of this.
America scores and wins.
Oh, look at this, everybody. It's time for us to play a little bit of... Whoa, that didn't work. Hold on. There it is. Okay, we're about to play a game, and this game is called... stump you guys with quiz questions.
Pop quiz. Guys.
Thank you.
Pop quiz.
That's the term. I can't think of words today.
Word hard.
This is a chance for us to ask you guys questions in areas of your expertise. When you get answers correctly, you're going to hear it like this. When you get them wrong, you'll hear this. At the end of all, Tom will sort of score it all and tell who won out of the two of you. And I would just say this. It's not hard. No real anything on the line here. So there's really no pressure. But Tawny, you've done this before, so we're expecting great things out of you. That's all I'll say. That's it. All right, let's see. We're going to start with Paul, since you're new to the proceedings. Your category, good sir, is Atari 2600 games trivia.
Yes.
All right. An area of your, I know you like, you're big on the retro gaming. I know that.
Love it. Do I get an extra point for my, the listeners can't see it, but my Activision Pitfall t-shirt?
Might.
Ooh, yeah, no, you lose a point for shilling there.
Oh, right, shit. See, I should have warned you. Tom is sometimes opposite day on scoring, so we'll see how
this
goes.
Don't worry, you got plenty of chances to make it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's your first question of a few here. Number one, in what state did Atari dump a ton of unsold copies of E.T. into a landfill?
Arizona.
You are... incorrect. The answer is New Mexico. Oh. New Mexico.
Yeah, we'll still give him a point. Nobody can tell the difference. kidding Arizona and New Mexico people. Yeah. But also, seriously, I'll give him a point.
Yeah. Tom Merritt at gmail.com. Let's see. What's next? How about this one? What is the name of the player's character in Pitfall?
Oh, Pitfall Harry.
That is correct. Well done. Very quick as well. Tom will interrupt if he has anything to say. Sorry, I always want to do this. I always want to wait for Tom's response. What game contained what many believe to be the first Easter egg in a video game?
That would be Adventure. They didn't want to give Warren Robinette credit for the game, so he put his own credit in there.
That is correct. Well done. Adventure is the correct answer.
2 points for explanation, but then you lose a point for showing off.
Well, see. You never know what's going to happen. Next up. What 2600 game features chickens trying to get across a very busy road?
Oh, I remember this one. Flappy Bird. I don't know.
Oh, you're so close with the first letter, but the answer is Freeway. Freeway.
Freeway. Yeah. Of course.
Not a good game, by the way. It's a bad game.
Half point for making me laugh. Yeah. Also, who remembers Freeway?
Nobody. It's a bad game. Final question. What year did the Journey Escape game release on the 2600? This was the game based on the band Journey. So the game was called Journey Escape. When did it hit the 2600?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 1982.
You are correct. Well done.
I give you a point with open arms.
Yeah. Well done, Tom. You should get points, but you don't get any points, but you should for what you just said. It's awesome, and it's the arcade version of that game was one of my favorite things ever. The home version, not so good, but you are correct. 1982, well done.
The home version of anything on the Atari 2600 was not so good, unless you were 8 years old.
That is a really good point. Tawny, it's all on you now. your category is Warren G. Harding trivia.
Yes!
Oh, my God! I know him.
This is absolutely Hammond's idea.
Warren
so.
Gamaliel Harding.
There you go. Here's your first question. Who was Warren G. Harding's vice president?
Oh, I have no idea.
You are probably
correct. He didn't do anything sexy.
He really didn't. Calvin Coolidge is the correct answer, but she's right, Tom.
No, the correct answer is no one has any idea.
Yeah, so she kind of gets a point for that. Where was Warren G. Harding born?
He was born in Ohio.
You are correct. Well done. Blooming Grove is the town, but Ohio is acceptable as an answer. What did Warren G. Harding die from?
He had something with his heart. I think it was a heart attack.
He had a Harding attack.
A Harding attack. Well done. Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Heart attack is correct. Well done. What college did Warren G. Harding go to?
Where did he go?
It's a much more boring answer than you think.
It is. It's nothing impressive. That's why I don't remember.
It's not like Harvard or Yale or anything.
So you go to Ohio State.
University of Phoenix.
A technical degree. ITT Technical Institute. No, incorrect.
You got his degree online.
The answer is close, although Tom, you may want to give her this one. She said it's an Ohio school. It's Ohio Central College, to be specific, but she was darn close.
We'll give her a tenth of a point.
All right, fair enough. And then final question. How old was Warren G. Harding when he died of that heart attack?
He was 56.
Oh, so close. 57 is the answer.
57. Oh, my God.
57. So you got 9/10 of it right.
There you go. That's pretty good.
9/10 of a point?
Yeah, 9/10 of a point.
9/10 of a point for that.
So those are your questions. You've both done quite well, actually, but we don't know until the final score. Tom, how'd they do?
Yeah, well, after tabulating the judges' results, we find out that if you round up, it's a tie. But looking precisely, Paul had 3.5, Tawny 4.
Nicely done. 3.5 to 4. So, Tawny, you made up for last time. You were the big loss leader then, but not now. You're the winner. Well done.
That was embarrassing last time. Thank goodness.
You did really good.
I was hoping that someone would ask about Warren Harding's middle name, which is, in fact, Murloc.
Oh, great. That makes sense. Gurgler. Ah, Warcraft. You guys get it? We've got Warcraft fans in the audience. Woot, woot. All right. It's time for this.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
So back in the day, Tom and I had a show called Forecast. It was a great time. We enjoyed it. We've had many guests on there that have been on here since, and we decided to keep it around as a segment instead of just throwing it away for time and all eternity. Tom, you wrote today's. What prediction of our near, far, or intermediate future do you have today?
I feel like I've made predictions like this before, so apologies if this sounds familiar, but I'm fascinated with this idea, and I keep circling around it. I think one day you'll be able to take a pill that gives you the feeling of having eaten a meal, as well as the nutrition. Mm. So it'll be part like vitamin, more like super vitamin, like Soylent, right? Like it's got all the things you need in a meal in the pill, but then it's also got some kind of neurological effect where you, like, if you didn't know any better, you'd think, I feel satisfied. I just had a delicious steak dinner.
Mm. And will it be, do you want it to be so that if I take two of those pills, I feel bloated?
Bloated,
and kind of...
yeah. You'd be like, oh, that was too much tacos. I had two taco pills.
Because I am all for this. I think the human need to sit down and eat a plate full of things, I hate that. I hate it. It's lame. It's restricting. It's also too tempting to eat more than you should. It's too tempting to eat things you shouldn't eat. None of us have the steely resolve that Tom Merritt has about his diet. Like, he's hardcore. Like you'll have your fun once in a while, but for the most part,
Dr. Yazdani would disagree with you, but okay.
But you know, like I'm telling you right now, there's a sleeve of Oreos over here that I am always tempted to just reach out and grab. Like this second I want one.
The key is don't have the sleeve of Oreos in your house. That's the only way I could do it.
Right. You're actually getting to my point. Mm. These pills could not only provide the nutrition we need and all that, and the sense that you just had a meal and I'm happy now and I'm full and I don't need more. But couldn't they also, when you're having a weird craving for an Oreo, like apple pie flavored Oreos, wouldn't it be cool if I could just take that pill and I would have all the satisfaction sensibility that I just had the Oreos?
Yeah, just ate a whole sleeve of Oreos. But you actually get the nutrition of a kale salad?
Yes. Yes.
Love that.
Flavored, good for me things, pills. There's probably a better way to say it. We'll have to take
That's
it to
the brand. Flavored good for me things pills. Available at your pharmacy now.
It's going to be a huge hit. I can't wait. I mean, why isn't this a thing now? I thought we had a way to, I mean, people can plug me up to a like a drip at a hospital and I have all I need from the bag of, what's that called? I mean,
you don't really have all you need from the IV. That's like fluids and basic minerals and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I guess it's just enough to keep you alive for that.
Yeah. It's enough to keep you alive.
Yeah, but okay. But we're getting there, right? Can't we?
If you don't need to get up out of bed, it's enough.
I don't know. Maybe I'm taking too much. Maybe this takes away from the pleasure of it all. So, Tawny, do you Thanksgiving, do you want it in pill form where every possible satisfaction, flavor, type of food that you would want at Thanksgiving, all in the pill? Would you want that, or do you still want your big plate of like dark meat, white meat, freaking whatever you're eating for Thanksgiving?
I'm into food. So for me, it's like kind of like art form too. Mm-hmm. I like the whole, I like the ritual. I like mm-hmm. the whole sitting down, the cut. Like I'm into food like that. Like how people are into like hobbies or whatever. Like I love the ritual of it. So for me, it's like, it'd be a nice option for convenience, you know, with like as much as we work nowadays, that'd be nice. But like just having the option, like I wouldn't want Thanksgiving dinner like that. I wouldn't want my like Sunday morning breakfast like that or anything. Like, well, I'd still want to like enjoy the process.
The pill was three things. It was the nutrition you need. It was the feeling of the things you ate. And then a true psychotic sort of effect that made you believe that you had that experience.
Actually gave you a memory of having eaten.
Yeah. Kind of a Matrix sort of thing. Where,
it's kind of like Brave New World. They're just like,
a little bit. I mean, there's that part in The Matrix where Joey Pants is eating that rare steak, and he's like, I know this isn't real, but I love it. Like, maybe that would be enough for you. Maybe.
Oh, I'm willing to be plugged into The Matrix. Like, it just has to be like the whole, like, I have to know, yeah, that I had that experience. If I think it's real, that's good enough for me.
Okay, fair enough. Paul, what do you want from your future pill food?
You know what? As long as I don't turn blue and blow up and Oompa Loompas have to roll me away, give me that pill, Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
I got stuff to do.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's my main thing is I get so busy that the minute I start thinking about food, I'm like, this is not helping my productivity.
See, yeah. I'm halfway between Tani and Paul here because I do also love like a really good meal, but I love a good meal the way I love driving. Like in the proper situation, it's great. I actually enjoy driving when there's no one else on the road.
Yeah.
But then when you have to drive somewhere, it's like, I just want to teleport. And that's kind of the way I feel about this pill. Like I want the option to be able to enjoy a really good meal. But when I have to eat, I got that other option.
Yeah,
exactly. You get me.
Yeah. we're probably all some variation of that. I think that's kind of me too. But I want to, I just feel like we're getting to the place, biotech food stuff should get to the place where this is possible. So yes, while this is reminiscent of previous forecasts we've done, I think this is one that we should bring up occasionally.
I've done a lot of food cube, food pill related ones. I
sure.
know that.
Yeah. Well, we had, remember, you know, meat grown in a vat. That was a big thing for a while.
That was one of the early ones.
Yeah. Those keep coming up and it probably will if you eat it, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, that's it for forecast. If you at home have your own ideas for forecast, you can send those in to us at currentgeek@gmail.com. That is going to do it for today's show. Man, I have loved having these two guests on. I want to go around the table and make sure they have a way to let people know where they can be found on the internet. Let's start with Tani. Tani, where can people find you, your show, and anything else you want?
So you can find us at the Orbital Jigsaw Network, which is orbitaljigsaw.com. And our head of our network, Nick Howell, he is a big time fan of The Instance. And he wanted me to let you know that. He just was like, oh my God, you're on Current Geek. Tell Scott that I love The Instance.
Oh, so very cool. That's very nice.
He wanted to let you know that. So we're at orbitaljigsaw.com. And that's where you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and you can listen on a wide variety of mediums.
Very nice. You do check it out, you guys. That show's great. I ended up being cued into it when you were here last, and I became a fan. I look forward to every episode. So well done.
My God. I can't believe you listened to
me. Totally. It's really good. It's really good. And it's also one of those things I love when podcasting does this, and it feels rarer than it used to. But when somebody finds a real niche thing that nobody else is doing, that's rare now. I feel like
I was surprised that nobody was doing it. That's what shocked me. I'm like, somebody's doing this already. And we looked it up and I'm like, oh my God, how did nobody think to do this yet? Yeah.
Hurry.
Yeah. I mean, when Tom and I were when Tom and I were just starting out in this stuff like 10, 12 years ago, it was, you know, everything was unique because nobody was doing any of it yet. But now there's so many things that are kind of samey, and your show is pretty unique. So good job on that. Well done.
Thank you so much.
Paul, let's do the same here. Where can people find what I would also sound? It sounds like a very unique experience listening to Varmints. Where can people find it?
Yeah, it is. It lives at blazingcariboustudios.com. You can find the audio in the show notes there. We're also on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. Any of your little podcatcher machines, you just type Varmints in, and there we are. And we're also on Twitter, Instagram, Varmints Podcast, and varmintspodcast@gmail.com.
Have you done ferrets or weasels yet?
We have done ferrets.
Okay. I'm always interested in the ferret. How about a sugar glider? Has that been on there? One of those little guys?
Not yet. Nope.
Okay.
Not yet.
All right. There's always time. Bearded dragons? You ain't bearded dragons on there?
No, I've gotten that request before too. People love their bearded dragons.
Yeah, they're cool.
We have panda squirrels.
There's a panda squirrel. Is that a thing? I didn't know that. That's
we
not...
did pandas and we did squirrels.
Okay, that's
the perfect next step. Then,
wow, is there really a panda squirrel? Is that a thing?
Yeah,
I had no idea. All right, I want to see one now. That sounds great. All right, well, all animal lovers unite. That's a great place to find that. Tom Merritt, anything else you'd like to mention before we cut out of here, sir?
Yes, I have a new book out called Pavaria. It is a novel about a colony ship that got cut off from the other colony ships because of an so can't get to full power, which means part of the ship has forgot that they're on a ship. And so they send poor Nath out to search for some notes that could help save the ship. But there's some people who don't want him to find them, and we don't know why. If that sounds interesting to you, go check it out. TomMerrittBooks.com or wherever books are sold.
Very nice.
Pavaria, P-A-V-A-R-I-A.
Pavaria, everybody. Do check that out. And thank you, everybody, for listening. It's been fantastic to get back to the show. And we got more coming. So come on back and join us next week for even more good times with us. I think that's going to do it for us. Don't forget to give us that email address, or I'll give you ours and you can use it. That's currentgeek@gmail.com. You can also go to currentgeek.com for everything else you may need from us. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and for our guests. We'll see you next time. There you go.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week we update you on a couple of interesting legal cases dealing with popular games, the Dominion tabletop game, and the Call of Duty series of video games. We start with Rio Grande Games, makers of Dominion, which all but created the deck-building genre so popular in tabletop games over the past 10 years. Rio Grande has recently sued a handful of Amazon sellers for allegedly selling counterfeit copies of this game, Dominion. Rio Grande did a bit of their own discovery work, anonymously ordering Dominion from these sources, and then investigating whether the copies of the game received were genuine. They were not. For example, the knockoffs used significantly lower quality cardstock, and a plastic insert much flimsier than the one included with original boxes of Dominion. With all of the artwork and game name and logos copied, this lawsuit has plenty of claims, including trade dress infringement and copyright infringement. An injunction seems likely in this circumstance, but it raises the question of will other fraudulent Amazon sellers pop up then to take their place. It's a constant struggle for some manufacturers and fields, but perhaps not as prevalent yet in the board game industry. Thus, Rio Grande may be developing the cutting edge of what to do in these types of knockoff situations. Unlike Rio Grande, who is suing others to protect their marketplace, Activision Blizzard, the makers of Call of Duty, is the target of a lawsuit filed this week for what they allegedly do with this series of games. AM General, the makers of military Humvee vehicles, is suing Activision for improper use of trademarks associated with these vehicles. AM General argues that Humvees being prominently displayed in the video games and ancillary products associated with the games like toys is Activision taking advantage of someone else's intellectual property. This appears to be a bit of a cash grab by AM General, as the demands here are more for damages than for an injunction. The legal theory here for significant damages relies on a claim that the wild popularity and sales success of Call of Duty comes only at the expense of AM General and the consumers who are duped into believing these companies are aligned or somehow licensing the trademarks to one another. That seems like it will be very difficult to prove, but perhaps a small amount of damages is warranted for unlicensed uses of vehicle designs in these games. The bottom line is, when gaming companies are successful and lead their marketplaces by making lots of sales and money, knockoffs of those with potential legal claims will always come out of the woodwork to try and claim a piece of the pie. In those circumstances, courts serve an important purpose in making sure everyone plays fair in the free marketplace. It will be interesting to see what other game companies get entrenched in conflicts in the coming months, and if they are similar to these two. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.